Hey, y'all, welcome back to the Late Night Vision Show. This is episode number 151. My name is Jason. I'm the owner of Outdoor Legacy, specializing in all kinds of sales for night vision and thermal optics. And as always, I've got my co-host, Mr. Hans East Texas. Hans, what is going on tonight?
That's right. If you're looking to purchase anything night vision or thermal related, call Jason or Michaela or myself, 877-350-1818. You can find everything on the website, outdoorlegacygear.com. I am doing very good, Jason. I went to a, Republican Party meeting tonight for our county, Vanzette County. And they had a speaker from Gun Owners of America there and talking about there's four bills right now that are in the Texas legislature for constitutional carry. So basically, anybody can open carry any type of firearm. You don't have to be permitted, no special licensing, nothing. Basically, if you're legal to purchase a firearm, then you're legal to carry it. And so there's four different legislative pieces in the House. And so we were talking about all the things it would take to get them passed through. So it was pretty, you know, they were talking about the first gun registration or firearm registration happened back when Santa Ana's army gave the Texicans a cannon and then turned around and tried to take it back from them because they said it was too dangerous for you Texicans to have a cannon.
That's a good point.
So we're going to come take it back because it's too dangerous for you to have it. You might hurt somebody.
And look what happened. They were right.
Yeah, that's right.
They were right.
And that's when William Barrett Travis said victory or death. And they said, come and take it. And, you know, so it kind of started there. Well, not in a roundabout way. But, yeah, it's very interesting. We are in some very unique times right now. Jason and I are recording this show on a Monday, as we do every week. And there's more and more stories of some gun stuff going on, some stupid people out there, you know, creating some violence with firearms and just doing awful things. And, you know, it's a sad time because we're trying to keep our rights. And at the same time, you're worried about every idiot out there that's got a gun that's going to go do something stupid, you know, and kind of do the unspeakable. But yeah, not to bring the attitude of the room down or the temperature of the room down, we have a fantastic show. We are going to be discussing, you know, we've been doing a lot of reviews lately, and there's just been so much we've been trying to get through. And Jason and I, last week, we were like, we got to take a break from the scopes. We've been talking about scope. We've got so many. Jason and I are starting to get our brains tired from thinking about all these different scopes that are coming out and explaining all the things going on with them. But this week we wanted to do something fun because these are things that I think these type of shows are fun for us to do, but they are also pretty informative. And so what we're going to be doing this week is really the five, I don't want to say our favorite myths, but it's ones that we kind of smile and chuckle sometimes. But so five of the biggest myths as it pertains to night vision and thermal optics. So we picked out five of them that we hear quite often. We want to set the record straight because there is a lot of confusion surrounding the topics that we're going to be talking about tonight with the five different myths that pop up. And there's some of these have a couple different layers to them, so we're going to talk them out. But yeah, it's been a busy night, Jason. As you know, I was at the Republican meeting and running back here to get back for the show, and you're sitting there waiting on me answering email. So it's a busy night, which is good. It is.
We both rolled in here to get this on. You know, this is I think it's going to be an interesting show. I think we could probably do this. I think we can go ahead and call this part one, and there may be one day down the road, you know, we could do another one because there's a lot of things. And, you know, we're calling these myths, and I think maybe the real thing we should call them is misunderstandings or confusion. because right. sometimes, you know, this thermal and night vision optics are often very different than daytime optics. Sometimes they're similar in a lot of ways that people don't think they are, but they're different. And so there is confusion.
I'll echo a frustration that I hear from a lot of people all the time. And it's typically people that don't live in states that hog hunting or, you know, night hunting is very popular. So, you know, we speak to people, a lot of people up in the Northeast, or people, you know, directly up north or northwest, where thermal optics just aren't quite as popular yet as they are down here in the Texas and the Southeast. The biggest frustration I hear is I'm making a big decision. Nobody around me has a thermal, not a lot of information about it, about thermal up here, and I can't go into a store and look through one, you know? So the only thing I can do is watch videos online and, you know, listen to people or talk to people that have used them. But the big frustrating part for a lot of people is not being able to go down to the store and look through and choose what you want by actually being able to touch it, you know?
Well, Hans just took myth number one from show number two. So yeah, that is something I do here every day. I don't want to go into a huge detail here, but what I always tell those guys is, I live in the heart of thermal country. Hans does mm-hmm. too, here in Texas, where we're at. A lot of guys hunting with thermal, and you cannot walk into a store here. First of all, Hans probably lives closer to a store where you can walk in and see anything. I don't know of a store around here that you could walk in and see maybe more than one thermal scope. You know, but if you walk into that store, and let's just say they've got 3, 4, 5, 6 thermal scopes on the shelf, I always tell people, number one, what good does that really do you? You can walk in, you can look at it, you can see what it looks like, but number one, they're more than likely going to have one brand, maybe two brands. They're not going to have all the different optics. And looking at a thermal scope in a room or even in the parking lot, even if it's nighttime, walking out there doesn't do you a bit of good. I mean, it's why Hans and I don't judge these thermals that we see at the shows, like at the SHOT Show. We don't make our final decision on these things until we walk out in a giant field, black night, no moon, and see what it looks like out there looking at live animals at 100, 200, 300, 500, however far exactly. we can. You have got to see these things in the field, and walking in a store doesn't do you any good. It may make you feel better, but it doesn't do you any good. And that's really a whole nother, I think, a myth. It's another topic we could bring up. And again, we get the frustration, but that's why we do what we do on this show. That's why we try to help you. We do use every one of these optics that we talk about in the field, and that's why we want to explain them the best we can, compare them when we can, and you know, you can always call us at Outdoor Legacy. You know, Hans and I are glad to talk to you, explain, hey, how this optic relates to that optic and what have you, and what'll suit you best. I get the frustration, still a big expense, sight unseen, but that's just kind of the way this is with this niche, and it is very expensive. And so, you know, a local gun shop can't afford to stock every single one of these things, set them on the shelf. So.
Right.
Kind of the way it goes. All right, so Hans got us completely off topic. That's normally my job. I'm very shocked by that. So yeah. I'm gonna try to get this train back on the tracks. And I want to go with a myth or misunderstanding or confusion, whatever you want to call it. Number one, and I know Hans and I both hear this a lot, and it'll go something like this. Well, I'd like to buy a thermal scope, but I know I can't get a good one for under $5,000. I had a guy call me the other day, last week, and he said, I'd like to buy a thermal scope, but I'm going to have to buy night vision because I don't have $15,000. And I said, what do you need $15,000 for? I was like being serious. And he goes, well, I know you can't get a thermal scope that's any good for less than that. Yeah. And I said, man, I don't have a thermal scope that I can sell you for over $9,500. Yeah. I said, so, I mean, don't get me wrong. That's a lot of money, but I don't even know what a $15,000 thermal looks like. And he was genuinely surprised. Yeah. And he said, you mean you can get thermals for under $15,000? I was like, I can't get you a $15,000 thermal. I was like, yeah, you can get thermals for $2,000. Guy was blown away, had no clue. And so, you know, this, again, there's a lot of times that number is 5,000. Sometimes it's 10,000. I hear those two numbers a lot, man. I don't have $5,000, $10,000, whatever. Well, man, there's a lot of good stuff, more stuff than ever that is from, again, $1,995, $2,000 to $3,000, more scopes than ever. Last week, episode 150, we went into discussing five of those optics and kind of how they compare. And I was telling a customer this week that he was talking about some different options. I said, right now there's five really nice optics under $3,000. Mm-hmm. And I said, at this time, 14, 15, 16 months ago or less, I don't know, maybe 12 months ago, there was one.
Yeah.
I mean, so it is expanding the options all the time down here on this lower end. But at the same time, I also want to say that sometimes we get the opposite issue. And this is kind of a newer thing, I think, because some of these guys do see that thermals are getting cheaper and they have a budget of, say, $2,000 or $2,500 or $3,000, whatever it is. But they give me the list of the things that they have to have, and they described a $6,000, $7,000, or $8,000 optic, and then they're just all been out of shape. When I'm like, you can't get that for $2,000. You can't. I can get you a really good optic, but it's not gonna meet every spec on here. I think this goes both ways. Is some people are surprised at how cheap they are, or how cheap they've gotten, and I think some people are surprised at how expensive it's gonna be to get what they want.
Yeah, exactly right. So, yeah, the first myth being a good scope is only $5,000 and over. So there's a lot of people out there that think you cannot get a quality thermal under $5,000, right, which is definitely a myth. There's a lot, like Jason said, a lot out there more than ever, and more choices more than ever than we've had for anything, from $2,000 all the way up to $5,000, whatever your budget is. And then the second part to your myth, is, I guess, the people out there that are trying to buy a $5,000 thermal, but trying to get it for $2,500 and
or less.
Yeah, again,
right?
It's I'd be the first one running up that tree if I could find one.
Yeah. Oh, I'm telling you. Yeah. You've just got to set your standards. When we're talking about that, it's you're not going to get a removable, rechargeable, 12-hour battery life, audio and video recording, streaming, every possible bell and whistle. I want to be able to shoot 400 or 500 yards. I mean, golly, you're asking a lot. And I always say, hey, if you could do all of that for $2,500, there would be no such thing as a $5,000 scope or a $8,000 scope. So again, I think it does go both ways. A lot of guys are surprised to hear, because, it was back around 20, I don't want to get wrong here on my dates. I'll say around 2015, 2016. I'm going to say 2015. I'm going to go with that date. I know that's a safe date. The average thermal scope cost was about $5,500. There was no scope on the market that had internal video recording. It was unbelievable what you had to pay. And starting in about 2017, all that just changed. Pulsar shook the market up when they came out with, the Trail Series and then the Apexes. And there's just a lot of big changes there that have really just propelled this market. But speaking to that, I want to also bring in real quick here, before we kind of go to number two, is night vision. Night vision is the same thing. A lot of guys will still call and, maybe they don't have the budget for thermal or don't think they do. And they go, man, you know what? I'd love to night hunt, but I don't have $2,000 for a night vision scope. And I'm like, man, you can get a Sightmark Wraith HD for $499. And immediately they go, what can you see? 25 yards? Like, no, man, you can see 150, 200 yards. What? Yeah. They can't believe it. And so many of those guys, I mean, it is, you can see like the scales fall off their eyes. They have no clue this technology exists. Mm-hmm. And you talk to them about it and they're super skeptical, as they should be. And, you know, you send them to go watch some videos on YouTube. They do some research. Those guys call back. They buy the scope. I've talked to a lot of them and they're just like, this is phenomenal. I had no idea this existed for, you know, $500-$600.
Oh, yeah. All right. So we're going to get to number two. And I'm going to go, there are two layers to this myth as well. The first part of it is that you cannot use night vision or thermal during the day. And then the second part of that is a thermal scope makes a good daytime and nighttime scope. So two very big myths and some confusion around that. So I'm going to go break the first one down. You cannot use night vision or thermal during the day. We do know the night vision optics now. Many of them do come with a daytime mode, which, you know, anything like the SightMark Wraiths, the HDs or the 4Ks, there's some others out there, have a daytime mode with very, very good daytime images. I mean, full color HD or 4K images, they look fantastic. A lot of people now are doing a lot of daytime hunting with their night vision scopes because they like the digital use of the scope, and they like that full color picture. And I'm one of them. I shot my buck this year with a SightMark Wraith 4K, and you know, in daytime mode, obviously, and it looked fantastic, looked great, and enjoyed it. So, yes, you can.
Yeah, I want to butt in real quick. I want to say one thing. Where this you know myth or confusion comes from is that traditional night vision generation 1, 2, and 3 that use intensifier tubes. This is what you're used to seeing from the movies, military, law enforcement, where it's green or maybe it's white phosphorus, but it's, you know, the old, what you'd see on the movies was green, had that green tint to it. And, you know, that's intensifier tube night vision technology. Those optics cannot be used during the daylight. If you turn one on during the day and it does not have what's called an auto gate, where it, you know, slams the shutter shut and turns this thing off, it will burn that tube up in the bright light. Again, that is not common technology anymore for rifle scopes at all. And it was, you know, again, 6-7 years ago. Now we don't even hardly see those rifle scopes, true night vision scopes. So we're talking about digital or infrared technology, where it is using, again, just like a deer camera, a trail camera that you might have. That's the digital night vision, where it's you know, black and white at night, full color during the daylight. So I just wanted to mention where that comes from, and it was true in traditional night vision. But yeah, nowadays, much better.
And you can use thermal scopes during the day, and we'll get to the second part of that. But you can use thermal scopes during the day. I've hunted quite a bit during the day with thermal scopes. But the reverse side of that, saying that a thermal scope makes a good daytime and nighttime scope, I would thermal during the day is not great. It is not fantastic. It is not. It's definitely looks 10 times better at night. You can use your deer in the day. It's not going to hurt it. You don't want to point it at the sun for any long period of time because you could burn spots into the thermal core. But you can use thermal during the day. It is not, I would not buy a scope though, a thermal scope with the plans of using it quite often in the daytime. Just doesn't look as good, or doesn't look as great
The way I describe it to people, and this is, you're exactly right. Whether it's a black and white night vision optic, like say the Pulsars, you know, right now the Pulsar Digisights and the Digix, they're black and white day and night. Or we take all the thermal scopes. Those scopes, just when you're looking at night with black and white, your brain just thinks it's amazing because you can see absolutely nothing. You're used to seeing black, dark. So when your brain sees this, it's just phenomenal. I don't care how long you've been doing it. It does not get old, and it's just really cool. But during the daylight, your eyes are used to seeing all of God's beautiful colors, and you've got your eyes open. You can see it. And then you lean over and look through this black and white, you know, flat black image, and it's just like, yuck. Now, what thermal is good for during the day is spotting animals. So, you know, we talk about this. We use thermal to spot deer or, you know, whatever we're hunting. Hogs, I use it for squirrel hunting. Whatever it is during the day, I can see them in the brush, see them in the woods, see them coming. So it has some benefit there, but not to shoot with. I always tell guys, listen, if you got your night vision scope that's just black and white during the day, or you've got your thermal scope and it's sitting in the truck beside you and that hog runs out there in front of you or that coyote standing out there, you're going to grab it, you're going to shoot him, and you're not going to think twice about it. What you don't want to do is go out there at, you know, daylight, you know, 6 o'clock in the morning to go sit on the deer stand until noon. I mean, that's just take your daytime scope, take the cheapest daytime scope you can get, and it'll be way better than using a night vision or thermal scope.
So again, you can use night vision and thermal during the day, but it is not using thermal during the day is not preferred. So anyway, that clears up that myth.
Okay, so here's the next one. This one I'm going to try to keep short. This could get super deep and get out there in the weeds, but there is some myths involved, confusion when it comes to the objective lens size in night vision and thermal optics. So a lot of experienced daytime hunters will call me and they'll immediately start asking about how big is the objective lens? This one, you know, this is a 35 millimeter and this is a 42. Got to have the 42. Or, ooh, can I get a 50? Well, the issue is daytime hunters through daytime optics have been conditioned to understand the value of really, you know, large glass and good glass. The problem is that in nighttime optics, there's a lot more going on than just the objective lens. They also, and this confuses every single one of them every time, and I understand why it is confusing, but the larger objective lens does not automatically mean a wider field of view. So if everything remained constant and equal, and we just increased the objective lens size, then yes, we could get a wider field of view. But what blows people's mind, so here, let me take two optics, and I'm just going to use these, you know, I'll make this real quick and make an explanation. So you've got a Pulsar Thermion XQ38, right? That is a 2.5 power base magnification optic with a 32 millimeter lens. Okay, so you stick with me. 32 millimeters, and it's a 2.5 power. It has a 56 foot wide field of view horizontally, left or right, at 100 yards. All right, so now we go up and we go to the XQ50 Thermion. It's got a 42 millimeter lens. Immediately, everybody goes, well, I want that one. Got a better field of view. Well, it's a 3.5 power. Again, more magnification, bigger objective lens. It only has a 42-foot field of view. It's a 25% loss of field of view going up 10 millimeters in diameter on the lens. That blows people's mind. They're like, I don't understand it. Well, the problem is that we didn't remain constant. We went up in magnification. And I always tell people, had the objective lens not also increased in size, then our field of view would be even much smaller. Right. So that objective lens widening out still can't overcome this increase in magnification. So I know there's some people that are like, I have no idea what you just said, and I understand all this, and that was absolute bull. So, but I'm telling you, that's the way you got to look at it. So the important thing to know is this. You are not going to look at, again, all things being equal, a 32 millimeter lens and a 42 millimeter lens, and be able to tell the difference. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's just not going to happen. You're not going to look at those two scopes and immediately go, oh, this one's better. I can see it looks better because of this bigger lens. And you're also not necessarily going to have a wider field of view because there's a bigger lens. You could actually be getting a much narrower field of view because the magnification is going up. And just to prove my final point on this before I shut up about it, it's a discontinued unit now, but the FLIR Thermosite Pro PTS 736 was a 6-power optic. It was 6-power, wasn't it, Hans?
Yeah.
I think that's what it was. Yeah, it was a 6-power. Okay. 6-power. It had a 75-millimeter lens. Okay, that's a huge lens. A 75-millimeter lens, and it had a 16-foot horizontal field of view at 100 yards, whereas its little kid brother, the PTS 233, had a 19-millimeter lens with something like, I don't even remember now, like a 70 or 80-foot field of view with this little bitty tiny lens. So, what you think you know about that when it comes from daytime optics does not always translate over. So if you go, I'm more confused than I was before, just call us when you're looking for a scope and we'll be glad to walk you through it and explain, you know, the important specs that matter and field of view.
Yeah. So bigger objective lenses on thermal is different than daytime optics. Doesn't mean it's got better picture image. Doesn't mean that it's a wider field of view. So, all right, I'm going to get into number four, the number four most common or most heard, I guess, myth about thermal night vision optics is that night vision and thermal optics have a set life expectancy. A lot of people call up and say, how long do these night vision and thermal optics last? I mean, do they go out after 3 or 4 years, or it's just like, is it like a TV where, you know, after a certain amount of time, it just doesn't come on? And, you know,
I'm going to bump in here one more time. And I'm just going to say real quick, that goes back to the traditional night vision, because those intensifier tubes do have a life expectancy. The number of hours, those tubes can be run a certain number of hours over time, and they get darker and darker and darker. And so, again, it's older technology. It's not near as common anymore. That does not affect these thermal and night vision optics, but that old idea still brings in. So I didn't mean to interrupt you there, but I wanted to bring up where that came from again.
Yeah, people ask me about that, you know, what I say is, I give the example, I've got a digital camera in my closet, and every so often, every 2, 3, 4 years, I'll go in there. It's been there probably 10 years. I'll go in there, and I'll stick in some fresh batteries, and that thing will pop on, turn on, work like it did the first day I got it. You know, there is no life expectancy with night vision, digital night vision or thermal optics, like you would think with some appliances or some electronics. You know, to tell you the truth, I haven't heard of a scope, maybe ever, or maybe in a very long time, of somebody call up and say, you know, my scope's just died of old age. You know, it's just old and not turning on anymore. I don't think I've ever heard anybody say that. If their scope's not working, it's usually from extreme use, dropping it on the ground, you know, damaging it somehow, breaking the lens. You know, usually it involves a fall or a drop or something extreme. But I have not heard of one of just dying of old age. You know, these are electronics. There's electronic components. Things can typically go wrong with electronics. But usually if it's an electronic issue, those tend to go out pretty, you know, those issues tend to pop up very quickly. You know, after you get your scope, they pop up quick, but there is no life expectancy. I think it depends on use. You know, how hard are you using? How difficult or extreme are you with that optic? Are you throwing it around a bunch? If you take care of it, if you keep it and store it in good, cool, dry conditions, and you know, don't use it extremely and abuse it, these things will last for a very, very, very long time. And I don't think really anybody knows the answer to that. Like I said, and I give the example of the digital camera I have that, you know, you go stick batteries in it after sitting on a shelf for a number of years and it's still going to work just like it did on day one. So, you know, that's kind of my thoughts on it. I know there's a lot of people that are just, you know, worried about buying a scope and how many years from now they're going to have to buy another one.
That's exactly what I said. The digital camera does the same one I use because I got the same thing. It's old digital camera. Old, one of the first ones we ever owned. Yeah. Still go in there and the thing will still work. And I'll say this. I agree. You said, hey, you know, it's how you use it, how you take care of it. The comments are going to be filled with guys that are like, yeah, but I only used mine four times and it died. And you know what? I know those stories are out there and I know that it happens. Again, this is kind of a side trail and I don't want to go down it. We've got another big one to cover here, but I do think a lot of these problems but they show their head after a certain amount of usage. One of the things, and this is another myth we might even use again later, is I get these phone calls of, hey man, I bought this scope from you and it's been, you know, a year and a half, 2 years ago. I used it for an hour and a half. I put it up. I got busy. I hadn't used it again. I got it out the other day, used it 30 minutes and XYZ happened. It died. The screen went out. It did this. And they go on and on and on about, man, I haven't used it 2 hours. I've barely used this thing. And what I'm in my mind thinking is it was going to do whatever it did in the first 2 hours of usage. Yeah. It just took you a year and a half to get there, you know? And so the guys always ask me, man, I just worry if I might get a dud or whatever. It's like, you know what? Take that scope, leave it on, run the batteries down about five times. Go out there, use it, play with it, wear that thing out, put 100 hours on it, whatever you want to do, just use it for the first few months you get it. And if there's a problem, that's usually when you're going to find it. And again, like I said, just because the guy goes, well, man, I hardly ever used it and did this the third time I turned it on, it was probably going to be the third time you turned it on, no matter what. Exactly. It just took you a year and a half to get there.
You're exactly right. And like I said, you know, with electronic issues, electronic devices, these imperfections or issues pop up usually fairly quick. And just like you said, it depends on how much you use it though. If it's 2 hours in the first week or 2 hours in the first year, it's still going to have that issue. It's still going to pop up and it's still going to happen. But like I said, there is not a grand scheme by these thermal manufacturers to have these things bust after 4 years. Like I do believe there is a scheme like that for the washing machine and dryer companies. Those appliances I think have a timer, a self-destruct timer in their motors that after 4 years they're done. but I promise you, thermal scope manufacturers, digital night vision scope manufacturers, they don't do that. These things last a very, very long time. Yeah, for sure.
I think that's true. Okay, so moving on to the last one, we're kind of getting close on time here, so we're gonna have to go through this one a little quicker because this one we could spend probably the whole show on if we wanted to, and that is, don't judge or you can't judge a night vision or thermal scope by its cover, which I would say, you know, you can't judge it by its specs alone.
Right.
And so the mistake is, and Hans and I were talking about this today when we were prepping for this show, is, and he brought up a really good one, that we both hear this on the phone with customers, and it is, you know, hey, this scope is a 12 micron and, you know, got a 12 micron thermal sensor, and this one is a 17 a micron. So this 12 has to be better because, you know, the smaller the micron number is better. So that's got to be better. Well, hang on. What about, and you throw out four more things. Well, it doesn't matter. This is 12 micron. So it has to be better. It's like, there is so much more that you have to look at than just picking one thing out. Same thing with, you know, with resolution. So I'm going to say, well, this one is 384 and this one's 320. So 384 has to be better. Well, it doesn't have to be. I mean, there's a lot of other things. Yeah. So real quickly, I want to just, well, I'm going to bring up one more related to this. Then I'm going to kind of go through my explanation of why as quickly as I can. So another thing that, and I had this last week with a guy, and he was very sincere about this, but he owned an older scope that was a couple thousand dollars. And he said, I don't believe that a more expensive scope that's $4,000 that I'm looking at. He goes, I don't believe those scopes can be any better than mine. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, why is that? And he said, because look at it on paper. Yeah. Mine's a 384 by 288 resolution, 17 microns, same brand. Okay. Yeah. So if this one up here that's $3,800 is 384 by 288, 17 microns, it can't be any better than mine. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, first of all, yours doesn't have a focus. You know, yours, you can't even focus the objective lens. Yeah. That's just the very first thing I would say. And then we started on. And so this is what I want to bring up. So we can look at certain specs. We can look at, again, the resolution of the thermal core. We can look at the pixel pitch, which is the micron measurement. So first of all, just in case you don't know, the higher the resolution, generally speaking, the better. The lower the micron number or the pixel pitch, the better. Again, that's a broad brush, yeah. But that's the general. And then we can go back and we can look at the display screen and we can see what type of display it is. Mm-hmm. Is this an LCD? Is it an LCOS, which is a liquid crystal over silicone? Is it an OLED? Is it an AMOLED? There's, you know, a lot of different ones. What's the resolution of that display? So we can get into a lot of those things, but that's all we can see. What you can't see listed anywhere in the specs, because if they did, it wouldn't even mean anything to me and you, is you've got to start at the very front of that optic. And there is a piece of glass that sits in the front of that optic. And behind that glass is the germanium lens that sits in front of the thermal sensor. So we've got glass on the front, then we've got germanium. Well, I can tell you this, the quality of that germanium and the quality of that glass matter. And we're seeing that right now with these new Envision optics that they've always had really, really high end germanium. It's something they've touted. Now they've got an even better piece of germanium in there, and their image quality has taken another step forward with their new Halo X's and Nox's. And so it's something that we can't measure as laymen. We don't know if they give you the specs. It means nothing to me, but it's in there and it matters. And then obviously we moving back, we have the thermal sensor and we can look at those resolution and pixel pitch. Okay. We got those numbers. Then we have the thermal core, and that's way above what any of us are going to understand looking at a scope. We've also got, and this is a big, big, big one, is the software or firmware. I don't really know the difference what that means, which one it would be, but I'm going to call it the firmware, operating that thermal sensor and that thermal core. And you can take, if you let Hans and I go write the code for a brand new, you know, thermal scope, that thing is going to look like you're looking through Play-Doh. But you let somebody like Pulsar or Envision or whoever write that, and it looks like $1 million. And it's the same exact piece of hardware, okay? That's why we can have the same sensors that, you know, multiple manufacturers use, and you get, you know, the image looks better or worse through different ones.
It's like Pulsar when they came out with the Detail Image Boost. You know, a firmware update where you basically just turned it on and saw a big improvement. And, you know, you look at now the changes in the sensors that Pulsar is using, with whether it be the Trail 2s or the Thermion Pros that are coming out later this year, that we've started to see some videos of, the Helion Pros and the Thermion Pros. So there's, those sensors also to make a big difference.
Sure. And before I keep moving backwards through the scope, so the software is a big deal. And I'll say this, and I'll end on that part of it. Hans mentioned that you know, big image boost that Pulsar did in January of 2020. And so if you had a Pulsar Trail or a Thermion at that time, January of 2020, you took that scope, especially like the older trails,
right?
And you did that image quality boost, it was like turning on a new scope.
Yeah,
it was unbelievable. And it really, I'm not joking about this, and I don't want to overstate this, but I think it sent shockwaves through the industry, through a lot of us laymen out there that went, you mean to tell me I can download this tiny file onto my scope and I can turn it into a whole new scope with better image quality? And it just shows what can be done out there. And Pulsar was, you know, again, able to work on all these algorithms and things and improve it. So again, you can't forget that. And then going one step forward back to this thermal sensor, we've seen this again. I'll keep going back to Pulsar, but they've had a lot of changes. They can take the exact same specs on the sensor. Oh, it's a 384 by 288, 17 micron, but it's a newer sensor. You know, the sensor manufacturer, Euless, they can make this change. And while the basic specs look the same, it can be a whole new sensor. It can have all kinds of upgrades to things that me and you don't even know what it is and improve the image quality.
Yeah.
So, and I'm going to move quick here, so we're running out of time. Moving on backwards. So again, the quality of that display screen matters. There's no different than we could go into, you know, Best Buy, Walmart, wherever it is, and you're looking at TVs up there, and you've got maybe two TVs that have the same specs. Maybe they're both an OLED, maybe they're both 4K, but one of them just looks better. Well, they just have a better display on it. Same thing with these optics. And this is something that Hans and I, when one time we were taking a tour of a facility manufacturing or working on thermals, we saw something that both kind of surprised us because, hey, we didn't know. The thermal display screen that you're looking at when you're looking into your optic, how big is that? And you'd say, oh, my screen's, I don't know, it's about an inch wide. No, it is way smaller than the fingernail on your pinky.
Yeah.
It is a tiny, tiny little thing. I mean, it is so little, but the reason it looks big is that you've got that rear glass eyepiece that is magnifying that. Well, the quality of that rear eyepiece matters. Again, you're looking through glass to look at that display. Right. So my point in that whole big walkthrough is, you can't just take a couple specs on a piece of paper and say, this scope has to be better than this scope because of XYZ specs. There's so much more to it. And I know what you may be saying. Well, great, Jason. Great, Hans. Y'all just made this even harder than I already thought it was. But our point is not to do that. It's to say, yes, you can start with those basic specs, and it does help you find similar scopes to compare, but you're going to need to talk to somebody who has used all those scopes side by side in the field, in real world conditions, to be able to tell you this one looks better than this one in these conditions, and here's why. That's why I go back to just picking one up off the shelf. If you could do that at your local gun shop, which again, nothing wrong with the local gun shops and you know, doing your shopping there. I'm all for supporting those guys. I'm just making the point that you can't just pick it up and go, oh yeah, looks good to me. There's so much more to what really goes into that. And then again, comparing that to other optics side by side in the field.
Yeah, exactly. Well, so those are all of the myths that we have to talk about tonight. And I'm going to tell you, I hope we cleared up some confusion for people out there. If you have any other myths or questions or anything like that that you didn't hear, write it in the comments section of the video on YouTube if you can. If not, we'd love to hear some of them. I think it'd be pretty cool to see if there's any other myths out there that have been floating around.
Yeah, myths or just great confusion. Yeah, anything like that. Let us know. We may do another show again later. And I'm serious, folks. I know we went over a lot of information tonight, and some of it you're like, I don't know what the pixel pitch, I can't even say it, and resolution and that stuff is. That's fine. You know what? You don't have to know what it is. Yeah. That's what Hans and I are here for, and I don't say that arrogantly, but I say it as, listen, I got a really good truck sitting out there in the driveway, and I open the hood up, and that is 100% Greek to me. I can barely figure out where to check the oil. I don't know nothing about all those fuses. I couldn't change the belt on it. I don't know anything about it, but I go to the experts when it's time to get that stuff done. But I drive that thing every single day, and I'm in it. I just want to know before I buy it that it's a good one and that it's going to do what I need to do, and that, you know, generally speaking, it's been reliable. And it's got the features and the specs I need, and it can pull the trailers that I need. So use us for that. And I don't mean that arrogantly. I mean it as like, look, call us. We'll help you. We'll walk you through this stuff. We can say, all right, you're ready to buy a scope. You got your budget. You just don't know exactly what to get. We've used these side by side. And at the end of the day, Hans and I will always say, listen, you don't have to trust us. You don't have to take my word, but we'll give you this info. Go do your own research. You know, go watch some videos on YouTube. Go get a second opinion. If you go, I don't know, these guys may be full of it. Well, that's fine. I mean, you know, go test and see. But at least it gives you kind of number out or get rid of some things that maybe don't need to be on your list, and maybe add something you hadn't thought of, and get the ball rolling in the right direction. So, we do appreciate you coming and watching the show, and we hope that you learned something. Please like, please subscribe, do whatever you got to do to get back here again next week and every week. We really do appreciate our loyal listeners that stick with us, listening to the shows that don't interest them as much, or, you know, scope reviews for a scope they might already own. But we do. We appreciate every one of you. We appreciate all your support. If you're wanting to see some more scope reviews with a lot of videos and coyote and hog kills, go over to Hans's channel. It's on YouTube. It is HANSETX. That is Hans East Texas. Like and subscribe over there. Hans puts out reviews of most every optic that we review here on this show. He does a shorter review that, again, he gets all kinds of hunting footage and stuff from the field. It's a different style of review than this one, but it is very helpful and very beneficial to a lot of people. So check those out. You can also go over to Instagram, find Hans there. If you're looking for anything night vision and thermal optics, you can go to outdoorlegacygear.com. You can call us at 877-350-1818, and we would love to have your business by supporting us at Outdoor Legacy through your night vision and thermal purchases. You are supporting the Late Night Vision Show. So again, we do appreciate you very much.
Yep, and we will see y'all again here next week. Yeah, I do have a review coming out very soon with the IRA Rico MK1384. So it's one that we reviewed here not too long ago on the Late Night Vision Show, and I will be coming out with that. Got some hunts, got some great video out in the field with it, so check that out. But be sure to check us next Thursday on episode 152 of the Late Night Vision Show. You can always find it on YouTube, Google, Spotify. Find all of us on our socials. We appreciate it. We'll see y'all next week. Stay safe in the fields. Keep making them bacon pancakes.